Life can be a pot of beans. Yes, you heard that just right. Sometimes it comes and does you a solid one. The question is, do you double up in pain and shrink in fear? Or do you go to a corner and live for the rest of your life a shadow of your true potential, waiting for the next one that life throws at you? Or do you take the pain in stride and deliver an uppercut right back? Don't get me wrong, this is not a motivational series. I'm not here to tell you to aspire, to perspire, to desire and acquire. This is a toolkit. This is your mental health toolkit. Your psychological exercise regime. The building blocks of your strategy to take life back on your own terms. This is Push Reset. After listening to the cockroach theory narrated by Sundar Pichai, who happens to be the CEO of Google, I find myself revisiting it almost every year to establish some sort of grounding around reacting versus responding. For those of you who haven't heard the story, here you go. At a restaurant, a cockroach suddenly flew from nowhere and sat on a lady. She started screaming out of fear. With a panic-stricken face and trembling voice, she started jumping, with both her hands desperately trying to get rid of the cockroach. Her reaction was contagious, as everyone in her group also panicked. The lady finally manages to push the cockroach away, but it landed on another lady in the group. Now, it was the turn of the other lady in the group to continue the drama. She went through the same response, and the cockroach kept hopping across the table. The waiter, who was serving them at the time, rushed forward to their rescue. In the relay of throwing, the cockroach next fell upon the waiter. The waiter stood firm, composed himself, and observed the behavior of the cockroach on his shirt. When he was confident enough, he grabbed it with his fingers and threw it out of the restaurant. You immediately begin to wonder, was the waiter used to dealing with roaches in the restaurant? Did he live in the poor part of town where roaches shared your bed or food with you? Or was he just being a superhero at that point? I personally detest roaches. In fact, I cannot stand them. I'm not scared of them. They just irritate me. But when you look at the situation with the ladies on the table, was the cockroach responsible for their behavior? Or was their inability to handle the disturbance caused by the roach and the emotions that followed it the real reason? Did they simply react impulsively with fear and disgust? Did the waiter respond because he had no other choice and had to make the situation work to probably keep his job? What I've found out is that reactions are always instinctive, often out of control, whereas responses are always well thought of. Thoughtless reactions can get us into unwanted trouble, whereas thought out practical and sensible responses can help us out of trouble. So let me break down a little further. I recently completed a course in cognitive behavioral therapy for therapists. This was purely for self-consumption, as I don't intend to become a therapist. Although the course provided a lot of clarity around emotions, cognitive bias, and the importance attached to maintaining healthy emotional and mental states of well-being. One of the key things I picked up from this course was that there is always a connection between how you feel, think, and react. Your thoughts, feelings, and reactions to events will eventually form your behaviors. Well, so let's see. Negative behaviors or reactions are typically the product of many years of letting our feelings guide patterned responses to environments that we have lived in, grown up in, or matured in. These pattern responses are driven by what we know today as automatic negative thoughts. So these negative behaviors. Now, most emotional issues are rooted in these automatic negative thought patterns, which of course become the fertilizer for further feelings of behaviors that leave us trapped in a misery, unfortunately engineered by ourselves. But there is still hope. Understanding that this thought-feeling connection exists is usually the first step towards unlearning set response patterns in situations and learning new response patterns that trigger or are triggered by more helpful feelings, which of course are positive automatic thoughts and behaviors. Let me see if I can get another analogy around this. So you see, in the first instance, the cockroach scenario in the restaurant spoke about responding versus reacting. But how do you get to that point where your response, or should I say the response reaction, takes over the reaction? There has to be some kind of science around this. So I recently watched a TED Talk where an interesting analogy about our emotions was described. The speaker said, think of your mind as a ship. Every ship has a captain and a crew. Think of the captain as the logical, rational, conscious part of your thinking. It lives by the rules. So in programming, the if this, then that. The logical part naturally should have control. But unfortunately, the part of our mind that has its hands on all the things that steer and sail our ship, otherwise known as the crew, is your subconscious. It is in charge of all your automatic responses, patterns of thought, belief system, behavior, and most importantly, your emotions. So, this is it. The crew sail your ship by triggering the appropriate emotional responses to situations. Fear in response to danger, or, for example, anger in response to being wronged. This crew, our wonderful crew, operates on its best principle, which is the best strategy for happiness, your supposed safe place. They sail you away from unhappy experiences. They're not trying to sink the ship in any way, but they sail it away from the supposedly stormy seas ahead. What's that proverb or parable about a ship in harbor not being a ship? Can't remember what it is anyways. But you see, this crew has learned to make these decisions based on things you have learned throughout your life, and possibly from a time when you were very young, which is the most impressionable point in your life. Now, the challenge with these data points from the past is that many of them do not hold true anymore, or were even wrong in the first place. This means, dear friend, that your crew will make mistakes in some cases. I'm currently reading a book by Joyce Meyer. I love her. She's a woman of faith, but very, very comical at that, you know. And it's titled Living Beyond Your Feelings. And in one of the early chapters, she writes as follows. Your feelings do not need your permission to show up or go away. Our emotions tend to ebb and flow like ocean waves. It would be so nice if they would ask your permission to come or go, but they don't. They just do their own thing without any warning. So, wishing our emotions were different won't change a thing. We need to do more than wish. We need to learn all we can about them and take proper action to manage them. If we take the trouble to observe ourselves, we will easily perceive how quick to change our feelings are. See, for a long time, I struggled with love feelings, you know. And when I say this, when I say feelings, you know, it's anger, you know. In fact, let's see, I think the most common one is anger. You just see yourself responding, and then you finish responding, or should I say reacting to something, and then a few minutes later you're like, why did I even do that? That was not really necessary in the first place. You know, so I mean, this is not, it's not something that is far-fetched in any way. So for me, how do you take life back, you know, in this realm? You need to retrain your wonderful crew. So how do you do that? I mean, I have like four steps. So the first step is observe. And I think this is the most important step. You need to start practicing how to step out of any situation that demands your immediate reaction and try to view it as an outsider. This is known as observing self. Now, observing self is like, it's a state of awareness targeted at viewing your ongoing state of being without attaching to that ongoing state. I know this may be hard to picture, but it's very possible to practice. So the way it works is, you need to see a situation and then practice a non-judgmental analysis of your automatic thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. One of the ways I do this is, when I'm in a scenario where or an event that requires an immediate response or reaction, I try to put myself in the shoes of a third party who's watching that scenario play out. It gives me a very unbiased view of the scenario or event, and provides me with a non-judgmental analysis of the way I'm supposed to react. So it's almost like taking a step back in your mind and thinking about your thinking. See, it's not easy, but with practice, it works. Now, the second point is listen. So, what do I mean by listen? Listen to what your crew, these are our crew, these are our crew. Listen to what your crew is saying. Ask yourself why you're about to react in the way you feel like reacting. You see, what I've learned over time is our reactions, like I said earlier, are built around past experiences, the way we've grown, nature versus nurture and all of that. It's just the way we have learned. Our bodies must react in that way. Our minds react in that way. They just react. So listen and almost interrogate the crew and say, okay, why are you acting this way? Do you feel insecure? Do you feel insulted? Do you feel afraid? Do you feel lonely? Those types of questions help. The third bit, third point or method in this, or third point in this methodology is to pause. I think that is my hardest thing, pausing. Pausing never killed anyone. So, even with bullets flying over your head on the front line, pausing to plan your next move will most likely save your time or your life, in fact, not your time, your life actually. I've been in scenarios where I have, and not by my own doing, but I've been in scenarios where there have been shots fired. And if there's anything I learned after the first scenario or two is when you hear shots fired, you don't just run. You pause and try to discern where the shots are coming from. That doesn't kill you. The truth about it is that when a bullet, if a bullet hits you, you don't know until it hits you. As long as you've heard the sound, it hasn't hit you. But it's important to pause. And one of the things I do in scenarios, especially emotionally tense situations, is I do a 60-second countdown. I look at my watch for by a minute, and I kind of mentally set a 1 minute countdown timer. And in that 1 minute, I'm observing and I'm listening to myself. And then when I do all of this, I observe, I listen in the middle of the pause and all of that. I now take a deep breath, which is my fourth, step. And I respond. Most times, 1 minute of this pause that you use to listen and observe can save you a lifetime of trouble, can save you unnecessary wahala, if that's the word you want to use. So these steps are by no means easily learned. I haven't even mastered them. In fact, to those of you who are wired naturally like this, I cut cap for you. One thing I however know is that the more mindful you become about responding and opposed to reacting, the better your quality of life. Yeah, so that's all I have to share, with you today. I hope you picked one, two, three, four, maybe five, or even half a thing from this. To listen to the other episodes in the series, go to www.pushreset.online. The podcast, the series, the episodes are right there. And then you could also check the website out. I mean, some mental health resources. It's still a platform that is growing and getting built up. But there are one or two. There's an interesting video on the front page that you should check out. It gets changed from time to time, and all of that. But yeah, man, you need to take control of your life. Take control of your life. It's transient. What we've experienced in recent times tell us a lot more about it. So why live in your head when you can actually just, take control of your immediate environment and live a better life? All right, this is me signing out. Take care of yourselves and you will definitely hear from me soon. Bye.